Brush piles are that fantastic spot. It's a place to duck away and get away from danger or get out of weather. It is a great place to roost.
You're exactly right, Brian. Man, when any kind of a threat comes, it is so cool to watch the birds just go whoosh and get down into those brush piles and disappear.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Nature Centered, a podcast from Wild Birds Unlimited about feeding the birds and enjoying nature right in your own backyard. Here are your hosts, naturalist John Shoust and Brian Cunningham.
Hi, everyone. I'm John Shoust.
And I am Brian Cunningham.
And welcome to episode number 83. Today, we're going to be talking about keeping birds safe in your yard. We're going to talk about specific actions you can take to prepare for springtime migrants that are going to be coming through in large numbers over the next month, and even your local everyday birds to keep them safe and healthy throughout the year.
Yes, John, we're going to cover actually some of the 7 simple actions to help save the songbirds, as well as a few other things like EcoClean products and what are those, and even our ever fun push for offering brush piles and what they'll do for you and the birds.
So everybody, stick around for the fun. Okay, Brian. Sorry about that. As you can tell, I'm a little under the weather. My wife and I did a little adventure to South Florida and did the Everglades and the Florida Keys and the Dry Tortugas. And
nice.
Had a wonderful 10-day birding trip with some good friends of ours. And boy, just at the end of that, I think I maybe got too close to somebody because I picked up a nasty virus, apparently, according to my doctor, and my wife has too.
Oh, so instead of coming home with you, all I got was this T-shirt kind of thing. You kind of
don't make me laugh. Okay,
there you go. I think I'd rather you come home with the all I got was this lousy T-shirt.
Yeah,
instead I believe of a virus me, believe, like that.
Yeah, believe me, this one. Apparently, according to my doctor, it's going around pretty strongly among folks. So hope everybody else is safe and sound and healthy. But yeah.
Well, that's kind of apropos to our topic. Keeping birds safe, keeping us safe, right?
That's right. And apparently I failed on that last one. But anyway, bottom line is, apologize to everybody for not having my typical golden tones that I have in front of the WBU microphone, and do the best I can with what I got today. So, and it's a good topic, Brian. I'm really excited. This is one of my favorite topics where we're talking about things that people can specifically do, specifically think about, in regards to what they can do to make sure the birds that are visiting their feeders in their backyard, or even if they're not visiting the feeders in the backyard, you're keeping them safe. You're giving them the best shot to stay healthy and go on to raise their young this summer or migrate farther north. So it's a good topic. I'm really excited about it.
I am excited about it too. And there's lots of things that we can be doing to help keep birds safe as they pass through our yard, or just like you said, our regular visitors. I think starting off with probably the first one would be a campaign we've got going on in our stores right now this month, which is called Pro Bird Antimicrobial. And that's all about, right? It's a fun little play on words. But it's all about EcoClean products. We're the first to market with an antimicrobial product protection on different bird feeders and some products. And currently, we're the only ones on the market with something like that, which is fantastic because we know all sorts of things come in contact with the feeders, perches or feeding port areas. And this application on these helps prevent all sorts of microbes from being able to grow and thrive in those spots. And we know what birds do on feeders besides feed from them. Sometimes they soil the feeders. So this is a great product line to be able to make it easier for you to help take care of the birds.
Yeah. And I would remind people that not all of our products are the EcoClean, you know, application. And therefore, you know, those feeders need to be kept clean the old fashioned way, a little soap and water and elbow grease to spiff them up every once in a while on a regular basis. And if you listen to this podcast on a pretty regular basis, then you really realize that Brian and I are pretty fanatical about being the champions for making sure that everybody knows that it's vitally important to keep those feeders clean on a regular basis. So if they're not EcoClean, then let's get out there with the soap and water and keep them clean on a regular basis.
That's right. Well, and also to jump into that with EcoClean products, all you need is to scrub them down with some water and a nice little brush to get debris off of them. So as long as the surface area is available and anything that comes in contact with the surface area, then it's kind of a self-cleaning feeder, or I should more accurately say a self-sanitizing feeder.
Right.
You still
right.
have to clean it. You still have to wipe things off. Bird food dust kind of starts to cake on there, or even just dust out in the environment, or like we said, birds soiling different parts of the feeder. You still have to brush all that off, but it will self-sanitize. So wonderful products to help, but like you said, John, still need to put a little elbow grease in just to make sure that they're cleaned off for the birds. You know, have a clean plate for the birds. They're coming in as your guests.
There
set,
you go.
Set a nice, clean, neat table, right?
Yeah, absolutely, Brian. You know, that's the physical danger, if you will, of spreading diseases and that type of thing. And we want to minimize that to the largest extent that we can. But there's also the physical danger of impacts and window strikes and building strikes, if you will. And we also want to, there are things that we can do to help protect our birds from injuring themselves on our windows and on our buildings. And I think that's another really important message that you and I, again, have tried to champion on the course of this 83 episodes of this podcast.
Yes, John, and there are leading organizations out there doing calculations saying we could be losing up to a billion birds each year due to birds striking windows. And oftentimes it happens during migration, but it also happens outside of migration time because as birds are flying around, they see the reflection in windows and think it's just habitat to be able to fly through. Birds do not see that pane of glass unless they're really used to it being there. And then even if they're used to it being there, they're a regular backyard visitor. If they get spooked off of a feeder, I just had, just this week, a sharp-shinned hawk scream through my yard 2 feet off the ground from one side of my yard to the other and disappear. It was, I was watching the feeders and vroom, and that kind of thing can spook birds. Even if they know the window's there, the hormones kick in, the fight or flight kicks in, and they can still strike the window. So whatever we can be doing to help the birds see that this is not a passageway, that's what we're talking about. How do you protect your windows? So, John, you got a couple of examples.
Yeah, and I want to dissect the numbers a little bit. Smithsonian did a little bit of a analysis of all the research that's out there, and I think they kind of came up with the fact that about half of all those potential billion fatalities in birds, about half of those are probably from high-rise buildings, you know, urban areas with high-rise buildings. And about a quarter of those are more like our typical homes, you know, the one-story to three-story buildings and homes. So about a quarter of a million, or a quarter of a billion, so 250 million birds is their estimate that are being taken out by homes and buildings the size of homes. Because there does seem to be a difference between the elevation of the house or building and the number of frequency of the window strikes. So what we want to do to reduce those numbers at our home as much as possible is to put either some kind of a visual barrier or some kind of a physical barrier. So, you know, one of the typical things that's the simplest to do, and yeah, it impedes your window, you know, view a little bit, but if you've got screens and you've taken the screens out of your window, you know, if you're getting a lot of bird strikes on a particular window, especially, pop those window screens back in there if you don't have them in already, because the window screens create a physical, visual, I should say, and a physical barrier, both. The birds can see the window screens, and should they go ahead and try to fly through that window anyway, the screen gives them something kind of soft and resilient, if you will, to soften the blow and do less damage when they hit the window screen as opposed to a hard piece of glass. So definitely window screens would be one of the things we want to talk about. Other things that we'd like to talk about are And I've used both these. There's little stickers, little strips. They're, you know, like little white dots, and they're actually square. And you, it's like a, on a piece of transparent tape that you run along your window, and you rub it on, and you pull the tape off, and it leaves the white squares on the window. And then you put those lines of those white squares every 2 inches as you go from top to bottom. Those I've used, and I put those on my big 3x5 window that I watch 90% of my bird watching from. And absolutely, definitely deters window strikes. It's a really good deterrent. So that type of thing, creating a visual barrier where they actually see the white dots and they realize, oh, wait a minute, I can't fly through there, can I? Or I'm not flying through the trees that are being reflected in that window because they don't know that they're being reflected. They think they're real trees. Right. So those types of things. Another thing that I actually am looking through right now as we tape, because I'm looking through my 3x5 window. So I tested out the dots for quite a while and really liked them. But I thought, I'm going to need to try some other of these different techniques. Another one is where you hang strings every couple of inches apart. And it's just a little piece of like paracord. And you just hang them from top to bottom. You leave the bottom loose so it moves around with the wind and that type of thing. And it's amazing. The birds actually see them. They really work very, very well. As I mentioned to you at one point, Brian, I get the biggest kick because the birds actually, you can know they see them because they come up, especially like the goldfinches and the chickadees, and they land by grabbing the string and hanging on and swinging back and forth on the string. So they actually see them and they actually land on them sometimes.
That's just so cool. You know, you're helping the birds, but they're in turn providing you entertainment by something they just naturally do.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of other products out there and a lot of information about different deterrents that you can do. You know, just need to be careful. American Bird Conservancy is probably a really, really good source to go to. We'll put that link to that nonprofit in the show notes because they have a whole history of researching this issue, helping to develop products. They have tape. They have a bird tape that you can put on your window every 2 inches. That again makes it's just making it a visual barrier. It's giving the birds something to see to go, whoa, I can't fly through that, can I? So it would be a really good thing to make your windows safe for the birds.
Definitely. Yeah, and I use the tape that you're talking about. You had used the dots at one point. I use that tape. And same concept, but mine is a long strip. I put it every couple of inches. But it is a ultraviolet reflective that the birds see, not just a physical piece, but it also it shines in the ultraviolet spectrum that the birds can see. So it's that extra little bit of visual for them. And I have found, like you have found, John, that it has been extremely successful on the windows that I have applied it to. So I love that feeling of, okay, I'm helping the birds, because even all these birds that come to my yard on a regular basis, they're not hitting that window anymore.
Yeah.
And so,
you know, and Brian, one of the things I would like to, you know, I'm sure a lot of people listening to this say, well, I don't have any birds hitting my windows. You know, I would challenge you to look at your windows and, you know, if you keep your windows pretty clean, you know what, take a look at those windows. Mm-hmm. Look for the marks. Are there marks on the windows where you can actually see where a bird hit your window? Because 99% of the time, more than likely, you'll never see it. You'll never hear it. If it hits the window, it may be injured, but still good enough to fly away. And unfortunately, more than likely will die in some other location. Or if it's killed immediately, it's going to drop down that window. And every night you got the raccoons and the possums and, you know, everything else coming out and scavenging. And they pretty much clean up any kind of, dead birds, if you will, under those windows. So you may never know what happened at all. So it's really a good idea to take a hard look at your windows and see if you see any kind of marks on them that could possibly be from bird strikes. If so, yes, take some action.
And it's a sobering thing to talk about and kind of sad to talk about, but this is the honest reality of what is happening with our windows. So definitely, yeah, take a look, take it seriously, put stuff up and know when you're putting the applications up, you're helping the birds. And yeah, whatever you can do to know, it does help.
Well, and just to bring it home, I mean, you think of that number and think a billion birds. Come on, guys. Really? That's incredible. You really think a billion birds? You know, last October, in Chicago at McCormick's Place, which is a big convention center right along the coast of Lake Michigan. During migration, during October, they had an unfortunate evening where the conditions were just perfect with the lighting and the wind and everything else. Big migration night. They had almost 1,000 birds killed that they found. I mean, these are the ones they actually collected. There may have been many, many more that were scavenged or fell on the rooftops too high to see them from the ground, you know, that type of thing. They hit higher and fell on an upper rooftop or something and weren't collected. So they had 1,000 birds that were killed in one night at McCormick's Place, you know, last fall. So the numbers are really something to be concerned about. They're real. And again, anything we can do to help out at home, let's give it a try.
Yes, indeed. And another submarine topic to discuss, one that I think a lot of times people don't like to discuss, would be cats.
Yeah.
And cats outdoors, cats, all the calculations say, especially the American Bird Conservancy and some other leading organizations say, once again, over 1 billion birds each year are taken by cats. And, you know, I know that Fluffy wouldn't take a cat in my yard. My cat wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
What we're learning is that it's not about hunger. It's about instincts. And
yeah.
I mean, I know our cat is an indoor cat and loves to chase things scurrying across the floor. So we'll take treats or even some of his food. And just as an enrichment thing, play with him by having him chase food. It's just natural for them. And birds do, cats do take birds. And that in itself is sobering. So there's a big movement about keep cats indoors, have screens for them, have a little hammock on your window that they can sit and recline and relax in that little hammock on the window and be able to enjoy the birds in a safe way, watching them from inside, watching the birds outside, taking, once again, a serious topic and saying, let's take a look at this and how can we help save the birds? We can keep cats indoors.
Yeah, this one, you're right, Brian. This one strikes close to home for my wife and I because we've always had cats throughout our marriage, you know, 47 years. We've always had cats and sometimes multiple cats. Right now we have two, and one of them is a totally 100% indoor cat. It was a young stray cat when we got it, and it has been indoors. It's kind of a shy cat anyway, so it doesn't seem to covet going outside in any way, shape, or form. Matter of fact, it kind of scares them every once in a while, maybe once or twice in its lifetime, it's bolted out the back door, gets out on the deck and goes, what am I doing? And bolts back in, you know, that type of thing. So that one's not a problem. And of course, we keep all kinds of enrichment things in the house between shelves that they can look out the windows. We keep some window feeders so they can sit there and be entertained by the birds at the window feeders. We even keep you can grow a pot full of grass, you know, lawn grass, because they chew on that, and if they go outside, you know, you often see your cat going and chewing on grass or other kinds of greenery. So we keep a little thing of that inside the house for them to chew on. But my other cat is 18 years old. It's a partial ragdoll cat, just a great cat, one of the best cats we've ever had. But what we've done is to allow it to go outside only when either my wife or I can be there with it. So we do let it outside, but we're always with it. Now, some people train their cat to get on, you know, on a leash and be able to be on a leash, and other ways of getting the catios, which are an outdoor, quote unquote, cat patio, a catio, where the cat can be in kind of a fenced off, screened off area where they can't get out of, but they get the chance to go outside, watch what's going on, smell some fresh air, that type of thing. In our particular case, we're just out there at all times. If good old Ted, if Ted's going outside, Ted's going to be, you know, shadowed by my wife or I. And so far, you know, that has worked out really, really well. So there are definitely strategies that don't impugn the quality of life of the cat that can be brought to bear.
I love the chaperoning with the cat. That's great. I've been there. It's so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a touchy issue because, again, a lot of people don't think their cat, you know, would take a bird. You know, given the opportunity, I guarantee you they will. Like you're saying, Brian, it's purely an instinct, that movement, that excitement, they're going to try to catch it. And unfortunately, you can even, you know, even if you're even right there, if you don't stop it before it happens and they get the bird in the mouth, that bird is probably dead. Even if it doesn't, you know, even if you get it out really quick, some of the bacteria and other things, the puncture wounds, don't bide well for the bird's potential future, health-wise. So, yeah, it's a touchy subject, but it's one we need to look at and face and deal with.
Yeah. Well, even though these are sobering subjects, one thing I'll definitely throw out there is if you ever find a bird that appears injured, contact your local wildlife rehabilitator that specializes in songbirds, and we'll put some link information to help you find those. You can always call your local Wild Birds Unlimited. They always know who the closest is, have all that contact information, but always contact that wildlife rehabilitator because they are trained and legally can take care of those birds. Not something that people should be doing. So we'll have that there because it's all about keeping the birds safe. And yep. That's their best bet. Have a wildlife rehabber take care of them.
Yeah. And another touchy subject that kind of comes up sometimes on this is pesticides and herbicides, you know, the value of our yard and the suburban urban green space, if you will. You know, we all work very hard to keep our yards. You know, we want to be proud of our house and we want to be proud of our yards. And unfortunately that means sometimes, you know, utilizing pesticides and herbicides that in many cases, in my opinion, you know, if you go into one of the big box hardware stores and you look at the huge long aisle of nothing but pesticides and herbicides, I'm always concerned about the proper use of those pesticides. I really wonder how many people truly follow the label instructions, knowing we all have that tendency, well, if a half a cup works well, what would 3/4 of a cup? Maybe I'll just put 3/4 of a cup in. And so
maybe double it.
Or double it, yeah. So one of my concerns with pesticides is the fact that I just really concerned that a lot of people do not use them as the label directions call for in regards to safe, effective application.
Yes. Well, John, that reminds me of a story that just recently happened. And here we are talking about what are some of those simple actions you can take to help save the songbirds. And the presentation I was doing touched on some of those. And we've talked about windows and cats specifically already, and then a couple other things. But avoiding pesticides, like you're saying. And a gentleman came up to me after the presentation, and he was really concerned. And I was a little anxious about what he was going to bring up. But he said, I absolutely want to make sure the birds are safe in my yard. How can I deal with this massive Japanese beetle infestation that I get each year if I'm not going to use pesticides? I really don't want to hurt the birds. So what do I do? And I think a lot of people have questions along those lines. Now, one of the really interesting facts is common grackles are one of those bird species that naturally will eat Japanese beetles. It was not a coevolution because Japanese beetles, that species was not in North America, but they do. The common grackles do eat similar other kinds of beetles because they have just an amazing beak and a little saw action keel in their beak so they can break into that hard beetle shell. And if you can't get tons of grackles in your yard, and not a lot of people want to attract a lot of grackles to eat up all those beetles, there are alternative options you can do. There are different pesticide alternatives that are either organic or natural. I had an issue a couple of years ago with a smaller tree that we had planted, and those beetles were just devastating the leaves. There are products like neem oil or other products you can use that are more natural and are going to help you manage that problem or those pests, and you know that it's going to be either completely safe or safer for the birds. But lots of different options out there for all sorts of different situations. But yeah. Keeping the birds in mind, how can I find an alternative to just a chemical?
Yeah, the Japanese beetle is a good one, too, because of, one of the things that we've advanced a lot in the last couple of decades is the pheromone traps, where you attract the beetle because of the basically the sexual pheromone that they emit draws the males or females to a particular trap. And there's a great one for Japanese beetles. And I've never really had a bad infestation, but I've had some friends and things that did. And they put these out, and then, you know, it's got a container, typically a plastic cup or bag or some type of thing. And man, you fill that thing up pretty quick. If you've got a bad infestation, you fill that bag up pretty quick with Japanese beetles. So yeah, there's definitely non-toxic ways of dealing with a lot of insects. If you are going to use a pesticide for any purpose, which we, you know, really, really ask you to think long and hard about, make sure you follow the label instructions on how to use it safely and then consider. Because the other thing about pesticides is they're non-discriminate. You know, you may have a target species like a Japanese beetle that's you know, turning your tree into basically nothing but skeleton leaves. But if you spray it, any other insects that spray comes in contact with are going to be killed off also. And so in many cases, and so the bottom line is that insect abundance, the biomass, if you want to call it, whatever you want to call it, that's the food source for a lot of birds. You know, you watch birds up in the trees and they're working the leaves and they're picking little caterpillars and little small insects and they're feeding on insect eggs. And if they all have pesticide on them, it's not a good thing. So that's another reason to consider, do I really need to use a pesticide at this point?
Yeah. And we hear about gardens too. People always ask us about, well, I do a vegetable garden or herb garden. How do I keep insects out of there and use alternatives? Well, I know there are lots of folks who do things like planting specific plants around those gardens and intersperse through the garden, creating barriers like using basil or geraniums or chrysanthemums. Mm-hmm. There are plenty of things, and you can just do a search on those. I'm certainly not an expert in those vegetable and herb gardens. One day I'll be getting more going.
You still got time.
That's right. There's always alternatives. But keeping your birds safe, there's another thing you can do. And John, we have always been the champions of this, brush piles. Love the brush piles.
What's that got to do with keeping birds safe?
Brush piles are that fantastic spot. It's a place to duck away and get away from danger or get out of weather. It's a great place to roost. Lots of the different sparrow species and towhees. And just recently, I was enjoying watching a whole group of white-throated sparrows that come in for wintertime and feed in my backyard. That's where they, once they gobble up a bunch of food, they go hang out in the brush pile. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then it's really fun to watch because they're all social together. And you can watch the interactions back and forth. It helps keep them safe from predators. I talked about that sharp-shinned hawk that blew through my yard. The brush piles are a great place for all your little birds to be able to duck away and be able to get away from a predator. Even if you go back to cats, what if you have cat in your that roams through your yard? That's not your cat.
Yeah.
One of those tips is about proper placement of brush piles and proper placement of feeders and bird baths. So if you can keep that placement of feeders, baths, about an open space of about 10 feet and have brush piles about 10 feet away, have bushes and places where cats or other predators could hide, where if it's about 10 feet, then once that predator starts approaching, there's still time for the birds to mm-hmm. see and react and respond to be able to get away safely.
Yeah, exactly. I think you were here right after, it's probably been 5 or 6 years ago. I think you were at my house right after I created a bunch of brush piles, kind of spread them out around my property. I've had one or two forever that were my main brush piles, but then I added some additional ones. And you're exactly right, Brian. Man, when any kind of a threat comes, it is so cool to watch the birds just go whoosh and get down into those brush piles and disappear. One of my favorite birds of all time, Carolina wrens. You know, you always have your mated pair that hang out all winter long. They literally live in that brush pile. They are there, you know, all the time during the day. You see them jumping around the brush pile, in and out, in and out. So definitely a great way to help keep your birds safe and protect it from other predators. And not just birds. One of the cool things I've noticed in all the years now that I've had these brush piles, there's other things in there. I've got skinks you know, little skinks that are living in and out. I see them coming in and out. All kinds of other critters coming in and out of those things. So it's a really neat thing to add to your wildlife habitat if you can do it. You know, again, middle suburbia, maybe not a real strong option, but if you can add it to your habitat, it's really a definite plus to the safety and health of the birds.
For sure. And the brush pile can be small. I mean, it could be 2 feet by 1 foot high. It's just a bunch of sticks. Or it could be really big. Any brush pile will help. And you can always make it look neat, even if you are in a homeowners association kind of scenario. Or I don't know about condos. It's going to have to be a lot smaller. Tuck it away off to the side there. But anything you can do to help provide that distance and a place to just go duck away and to loaf and be social with one another, you're going to love the action that happens with those brush piles in your yard.
All right, Brian. Well, I think we've done a pretty good job of covering some of the things that people can do in regards to keeping those feeders clean, you know, window strikes, cats, brush piles, pesticides, all kinds of different things. And people can take a direct action in their own yard and truly, truly make a difference to some of the birds and their long-term safety and security. So with that, I think it's time for us to wrap up.
Indeed, John. It's great to be able to bring these topics out and talk about them a little bit. So I hope everyone has picked up on at least one action that you're going to be able to take this month and move into spring and summer, being able to help keep those birds safe in your yard. So I appreciate everyone listening in. And hey, please rate and review us. I'd love to hear if you like this episode, put a note. We'd like to see what you have to say.
Yes, we absolutely do. And again, my apologies. Hopefully my voice hasn't rubbed anyone too wrong today. Until next time, when we talk about the environmental benefits of bird feeding. This should be fun, Brian.
Yes.
So until then, Brian and I are always going to keep letting nature be our guide. So until then, please take care, be safe, and keep those feeders clean.
Thanks for joining us, everyone.
To subscribe to the podcast, get show notes, or find the Wild Birds Unlimited store nearest you, visit wbu.com/podcast. We'd really appreciate you telling your friends about Nature Centered. But more than that, we hope you find a moment to relax, enjoy the birds, and stay nature-centered.